By downloading this Fifi, Dave, Bevan, Bar and Catch-Up, you've upgraded the next 30 minutes of your life. At Melbourne Airport Parking, upgrade from the long-term car park to the at Terminal T4 car park for just $15. When you book online and park before 12 September, melbourneairport.com.au.
Bachelor with Matty continued last night on Channel 10, but we were all talking yesterday, because we had him in here yesterday, and we noticed that there's something odd about his friendship with one of his ex-mates from The Bachelorette because, for people who don't realise, Maddie was one of the contestants on The Bachelorette trying to win Georgia Love's heart. And the final two were Lee and Maddie. And so she was making out with both of them. Clearly they were both front runners. And then she picked Lee. Then Maddie's revealed to us not only is he really good friends with Lee, he hasn't seen Georgia since it ended. This was him talking about how he'd watched the premiere the other night with Lee.
I watched it with a few of the boys from The Bachelorette, and Lee was one of them. I had no idea how it was going to go,
being
that episode.
Cut together, yeah,
yeah. And so the first 5 minutes was scenes of me kissing his girlfriend.
Oh.
So it was.
Oh, that's so awkward.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Because you two are mates.
Yeah.
Do you have interest? Do you go out on a date with them? Like, is it just Lee or is Georgia there too?
That's kind of. I haven't seen Georgia.
Couple of things from that.
Yeah.
Initially, that's sauteed and wrong sauce. There is nothing good about sitting there while you're both macking on with a girl going, oh, we're both doing well. What do you reckon? And you're not helping Fev. Just ask him.
Are you a good kisser? Is she a good kisser? Is she? He didn't answer.
He ignored you.
When you think about it, so they've both vied for the same girl. They were love rivals and now they're mates, but one of them got the girl. And it's an interesting scenario. And 131060, if anybody can relate to this, are you, or is your best mate, your love rival? Were you both going for the same boy or were you both going for the same girl? And then one of you's ended up with them and now...
Because that should technically probably destroy a friendship, really. You're not necessarily hanging out after something like that.
Well, if you were in love, like he was in love with Georgia and he was heartbroken when that ended and then Lee runs off into the sunset with Georgia... Hard to continue your friendship with Lee going, and then it's obviously awkward because Georgia doesn't go out with both of them.
No, it's
so
just
it's
them.
Like, I'll stay clear of that friendship.
You know, it reminds me of, you know, that storyline, and I'm showing my hand here in Love Actually.
Yes.
You know when the guy goes to the door and it's Christmas and he's holding up the signs going, I'm in love with you, and his best mate's sitting on the couch with Keira Knightley.
Totally.
I'm like, what a dog. Yes. That guy's a dog. Like, what are you macking on to your best mate's missus for?
You're right. See, I found that romantic at the time, but it's wrong.
Good point.
It's heaps wrong.
13, 10,
and yeah,
60.
What's Love Actually? Get over it, Byron.
Is your best mate your love rival is the call-in, and are you a closet fan of Love Actually is a secondary question.
It's a legit question.
The Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Talking about best mates who are torn apart because they become love rivals. So Maddie J, or Maddie, as he's now referred to, on The Bachelor, he's still hanging out with Lee, and they were both vying for Georgia Love's heart last year, and now they've continued their friendship. And we just thought, if there's anyone in Melbourne who's maintaining your best mate is your love rival. Mm. It's sort of an uncomfortable, awkward situation. Maddie and Doreen. Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
Hey, Maddie. Have you got a friend and you've both gone for the same guy?
Yes, but I keep stealing her guys.
Maddie, what do you mean?
The lunch cutter.
So my best friend in high school, she was in love with one of our best mates, but I found out that he actually had liked me for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So at a party one night, I ended up kissing him. And we had a thing for a while. She eventually told me, don't worry, I'm over it. I like this new guy.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So then again, one night at a party,
I
ended up with him. She saw, and about 3 months later, we ended up dating for about a year. She told me, you know, again, she was fine with it. We are still currently best friends, but we've never actually sat down and had a chat.
I thought we were about to get the story again for a third time.
I know.
And then...
Oh, Maddie, look, you know, you that is a great friendship and you should love her because once you could go, okay, but twice. But that said, Maddie, if you fall for something, you can't stop chemistry. As much as we go, oh, I've got dibs on that guy.
Well, is it
if
chemistry?
You've got genuine chemistry with somebody.
She's just hearing her friend go, well, I like Joe Blow down the street. I like him too. No, and she's just taking it.
I'm giving Maddie the benefit of the doubt.
That's why they're still friends, because Mads's friend has not told her anything about a relationship since.
Yeah, Maddie, does your friend tell you?
You're not coming to the wedding.
Now?
I don't know what you're going to do.
No, she actually has ended up with the original guy that she liked.
Oh,
that they are together now.
Is there still a little connection
hang
with
on,
you
though,
two?
Does that mean does she doesn't feel like, you know, second, like...
Well, I don't know, but all of that. Us hang out together, which is a little bit weird, but we all get along.
Oh, do you okay. still want to? Do you still want to pash him?
No, not really.
Not really? That's not a no. It's no, Maddie.
Maddie, Stevie in Melbourne East.
You're a Maduri shaker away from something happening.
Hi, Stevie.
Hi.
Stevie, are you is one of your best friends also your love rival?
No, it was actually my parents, my dad and his brother, and my mum. Oh. So I'm at my father's funeral, and my uncle gets up and says, so it was actually me who was originally dating Margaret, and I really liked Margaret, but then, you know, she saw my more handsome brother and decided to date him.
At the funeral?
At the eulogy?
Yes!
So, Stevie, you'd never known that, that your uncle had dated your mum first?
No, I didn't, and I'm at the funeral, and my parents had, like, were divorced 20 years ago, too, so the whole thing's really awkward.
Yeah.
My mother is there with her ex-brother-in-law, who was her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, and funeral crashes.
I know, my dad's laying there, you know, I just thought, wow.
You want to like the Oscars, they play the music and play you off, just, okay.
Get off. Did anything happen? I mean, did they weirdly end up maybe together later, or...?
No, and it's just odd. And every time I look at him now, I think, oh, my God, you had the hots for my mum. That's so weird.
Yeah, Margaret.
And his brother stole her from him.
There we go.
I know, but my dad really was the better-looking one, so she...
Oh, there you go.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
There is a lot of excitement in the studio, and I would say there hasn't been excitement like this ever on this show. We have a genuine superstar, international superstar in the studio, Patty Mills. Welcome to
morning,
the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Patty, this is off the chain.
Yes.
This is great.
Let's get it going.
Patty, this is the only bit where I'm going to get to talk, so I want to just say hi.
Say boxy shoes.
I know.
This is our basketball time.
I work with three men here who talk about, so we're on air for 3 hours a morning, and we do probably 5 3-minute bits an hour, and every other minute is dedicated to basketball.
Oh, really?
So these three men, this show is more about basketball than anything else we talk about. And they've said to me, can you please not talk? And I'm getting self-conscious because I'm talking too much. Okay, you've got this amazing book, Game Day, and it's a kid's book, and there's three in the series, and the two are out already. Patty Hits the Court and Patty in the Shadows. That's incredible. I love reading and I love basketball, but now you boys talk.
We wasn't talking. You've done pretty well. Welcome, Patty.
Well done. I love it.
And it's hard being an author, Patty. I've written a couple of kids' books as well, and when you got to get down, you got to get down to the mindset of a kid, which I got pretty easy. But how'd you go? How was the process writing the book? Because I did a similar book called My Best Game Ever, which was roughly about 4 to 8 year olds as well.
Yeah, look, it was an exciting process for me, mate. It gave me the opportunity to go back to my childhood, my upbringing, and relive those moments of adversity and what it took for me to overcome those things, and the importance of culture and having that close to me as a tool to have motivation and fuel the fire, but also bring meaning to what I do in playing sports and obviously now at this stage with basketball. So the whole thing turned out really well.
I got a basketball nerd question, mate, because even when you were coming in, Fee's like, oh, how tall is he? And I said, he's 6 foot, 5'11", is that right?
Oh, yeah, 6 foot.
Six foot. For sure, bro. That's the size of an average human being. But you're around some giants, and Kawhi Leonard, who I know who has a gun, I've only seen photos of his hands. Like, he can hold a basketball like it's a baseball.
Oh, yeah, no, he palms me by the head and picks me up.
He palms you by the head!
I'm amongst the tall giants.
And who'd be the best talkers out there on the court? Because, you know, you go to the games and you can't obviously hear. You're not mic'd up the way some of the footy players are. LeBron, I mean, you've played against all of them, all these guys. I mean, are there some that will get in your ear more than others? Are some sort of the quiet achievers, whereas the others like a lot of the talk?
Yeah, a lot of people, I guess it's a part of the game. They like to, talk and talk and talk to other players as well, just to get themselves going, I think. So no one's yet to say a lot to me for whatever reason. Probably intimidated, I'd say. But, yeah, I guess it's just a part of the game.
I am sitting here nodding along like I know every person you refer to.
You're engaged. I love it.
Yep. We almost should get you to plug the book because that's the only thing you've been able to do.
Because I can read. I can't play basketball. I can't talk basketball, but I can read. So these are great books. Game Day by Paddy Mills. Paddy Hits the Court, Paddy in the Shadows, out and out. And remember, this is an amazing thing. When you purchase a book, you go in the draw to fly you and your family to the USA to watch Paddy play.
Maybe you could win the prize and I'll get you over to learn some basketball.
Kev, Dave, Byron, Paddy just said to me, maybe I can go over and watch him play. You saw that.
Yeah, but that's
he wants me involved in basketball.
I've just got a question. Do you reckon we could just talk about Greg Popovich for like about 6 hours or so?
Unfortunately,
we could.
Paddy's being whisked out of the room now as we've harassed him for the last 10 minutes.
I feel a restraining order coming on. Okay.
What a legend. Of course, was singing for the Commonwealth Games as well, doing the big ambassador role for that as well.
Ambassador? Yeah.
You've been busy, haven't you? So lots of people want a piece of you when you're back home. So thanks for making time with us here on The Fox. Paddy Mills.
Thanks for having me, guys. I love it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nikki, sexologist and relationship expert. As a sexologist, I get asked a lot of questions.
When you look at the internet, what images do you look at?
Are we doing it right? Am I normal?
Figuring out whether I want other people in my life to know about this.
There's a lack of permission and education out there.
It depends on the connection you have with people.
Where there's so much information that's needed that here's a platform where I can say all the things that I can't say on air.
So I have one leg that's suspended off the ground.
So this is why I've started Sex and Life. Download me, Dr. Nikki with Sex and Life, podcast1.com.au and the Podcast One app.
I still get fascinated by people who enter reality TV shows and then assume anything that might have been in their past may not pop up to meet them. Because, and I think the Daily Mail are definitely a culprit of this. They, when they do a story about The Bachelor at the moment, they write, if you have any gossip or news about, or you know anything about any of the Bachelorette contestants or Bachelor contestants, please contact us on this email address. Next minute, up on Daily Mail, poor Simone. You like Simone. She was one of your top picks.
Yes.
Topless photos have been splashed all over websites.
Has
of
it?
Her. Yeah, she, and I don't know how long she was doing it. She has a former form of employment was as a topless waitress at Bucks parties. So photos of her topless everywhere. Now, maybe, I don't know, Simone might be okay with that. But I reckon if it was me, I'd be hoping that hadn't popped up and that everyone saw those photos.
Yeah, you're right, Boxy. And I had an interview with a certain station and they said that, is there anything that we know? Like, is anything going to pop up? And I'm an open book. Pretty much everything that
you
know is
out.
It's all popped up. But I reckon when they do their screening, I hope that there is something. Oh, no,
or do they like it?
Well, I won't say it. Or they do that.
Because the TV producers might even go, oh, topless waitress, wait till those photos go viral. And then suddenly ratings, boom. So you never really know. But look, and I said, Simone may be proud of that. She may be fine that all those photos are out there. But sometimes in life, like you said, Fev, you can be going for a job or, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe you're going for a reality TV show. And you know there's a skeleton in your closet, there's something, and you think, maybe I should get on the front foot. Why don't we here on the show, 131060, right now, if there's something that you're worried might come out one day, get on the front foot now.
Oh, this is great.
Get on the front foot.
I was young. I needed the work.
131060.
Doesn't matter what it is. Maybe, you know, you made out with your best friend's boyfriend and you're like, one day she's going to find out. Confess now. Basically, it'll be a weight off your shoulders.
We had the voice disguiser.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've got a mate that completely deleted his Facebook. Like, he's just gone, nah, it's all over because I'm starting to climb the ranks of work.
What was he hiding, though?
Well, I know. So I'm willing to take kickbacks. If anyone knows my friend.
131060, consider this cathartic. Consider it. You'll feel lighter after you've gone, yep, I did this in my past now. I'm letting it go.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
The Bachelor contestants are all on guard at the moment because various news sources are asking people to dig the dirt, any information, gossip you've got about them. And Simone, who, Fev, you're a big fan of Simone's, she is plastered all over websites this morning with topless photos of herself.
Why do you keep saying I'm a big fan?
Because yesterday I remember you said, I reckon Simone.
I just ticked her. There was five.
There you go, yeah. Mm. I just thought you liked her too.
You ticked her.
No, I didn't actually. I guessed you would like her, remember? I only ticked the two. You've got no I looked at you and you've got no tooth. It shocks me every now and then. Anyway, we've said, now that's a shame for Simone. She may not have expected the world to see photos of her topless this morning. And we thought, you know, sometimes it's better to get on the front foot with these things. So we've said anyone in Melbourne right now wants to get on the front foot. What are you worried will come out one day? Just put it out there now. We've got Sarah in Chadstone. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah, you sound a little bit nervous. Upset. Is there something?
I'm really scared. I'm using a fake name because I'm really scared.
It sort of defeats the purpose in some ways.
And you should have probably used the voice disguiser.
No, because it's cathartic, Sarah. This is obviously something that you're worried someone will dig up from your past.
Definitely, definitely. When I was 14, I stole a jumper and I got caught. Biggest mistake, I now work in an industry where I deal with a lot of money. And I'm dealing with hundreds of thousands, so I'm really scared.
Oh, so hang on, there was a criminal record, so the police room?
No, but it's something that I've still got in the back of my mind.
I think you're fine.
That'd be all right, don't you reckon?
You
stole
14.
A jumper.
Did you take it back?
No, I just got caught.
No, you're not Cassie Sainsbury. You're all right.
Thank you, Sarah.
I won't lie, Sarah. The fact that you've brought it up is probably the only thing that'll get you into trouble right now. I mean, that's one of the – you could have maybe sat on that. But look,
Where do you work?
No.
To be honest, from what I hear, everything in the reports, most people who work in finance, Nick, a lot more than that. So there's a lot more dodgy people than you.
Alexis in Malvern. Hi, Alexis.
Hi.
Alexis, what is in your closet? What's the skeleton that you want to get off your chest?
I used to work in a brothel.
Okay. Yeah, no, I could see
on
that.
On reception?
Oh, no, more on the front lines.
So, Alexis, who in your life doesn't know about that?
My dad, who is a pastor of a Christian church.
Oh,
well.
So, Alexis, where are you working now?
At an engineering firm.
Oh, okay. There's a fair chance that won't get out, though.
What do you think? I mean, all my friends know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the grapevine. But your dad, so this far, how long ago was it?
I quit at the start of the year.
Okay. And your dad hasn't found out yet.
Yeah, no.
I mean, she's on radio now.
No, I know. Oh, no, I just...
Well, lucky dad might be listening to 3AW.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think we bring in the pastor demographic here.
We've all make choices at some stage in your life that maybe in reflection you're not wrapped with. And guess what? Tomorrow's a new day. You can reinvent yourself.
Are you a churchgoer as well?
No.
Well, Alexis, there you go. You've put it out there. Got it off your chest.
Front-footed it. Yeah.
Front-footed it.
Thank you. I'm proud.
Yeah, good. There we go.
Own it.
Yep. And that also was a fake name.
Obviously.
Yep.
Jess.
Jeez, it puts the jumper story to shame.
Jess. Hi. Hey, Jess. How are you?
Good. How are you? I used to have relations with my cousin before I knew he was my cousin.
Oh,
what's
Jess.
Happened?
Amazing story.
How did that happen?
Well, I met him through a friend and we obviously got to know each other. Things happened, and then at a family gathering, he was there, and I was like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm related to this person. I was like, oh, it's my auntie.
So first cousin or second cousin?
I think it was third.
Oh no!
Right. Chill out, Nick!
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centered around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Now, I'm going to be honest and upfront. This isn't going to be a fun one. The terrible story that's played out for this gorgeous little three-year-old girl, Carla Sweeney, who has had a drowning incident in Bali, and then a GoFundMe page raised over $40,000 to get her home, and she's been in an induced coma. And yesterday there was an announcement that they were going to have to turn off the life support, so she hasn't made it. Fev, we were looking through the paper this morning and you raised a really interesting point.
Yeah, I was just flicking through the paper and it's about 10 pages in, and I've opened it and I saw the little bubba and she's laying there. On one page there's a beautiful picture. She's standing there looking all cute. Then there's another picture of her laying in a coma with all tubes on her. I'm like, I don't want to see that.
No.
Like, I don't want to see that in the paper.
No, in fact, I just had a photo in front of me. I've had to turn it over. Nobody wants to see it. So nobody should see
that. I don't understand
that.
Why they put that in there.
Well, it's because we were having this conversation. I had exactly the same reaction you had to that. That's just heartbreaking to look at this darling little girl and we shouldn't see that. That's an intimate photo of where she's
at. It's like a before and after. You just don't want to see it. I don't get it.
This happens more and more. Like yesterday, and now you don't seem to have a choice. I feel like years ago, whether it was the news, the televised news or papers or news online news services were more respectful and would say graphic images. But now what happens, if you're scrolling through an online news service, the photo's just there. So yesterday there was that horrible, terrible tragedy in the US at that fair where one of the roller coasters. People fell out of it.
And they showed the people flying through the air.
But and not only that, Fev, though, you didn't have a choice. So as I scrolled down the news service, the photo that was attached to the headline was these people falling out of a roller coaster. And now I've got that. It's burnt. It's an image in my mind. I didn't want to see it. And I just don't think... I think I don't know whether we've been desensitized, but I do believe that news services do have a responsibility to give people warnings, and we should be able to consume what we want.
Well, there's kids on Twitter and stuff as well. I mean, like, come on. It's not just the adults that you're shocking and offending.
Well,
like,
there's just no filter, Byron.
Well, there are photos even
whatever they want
when
on.
The horrific Manchester tragedy at the Ariana Grande concert. It was because the news services are working so fast and they want to be first, and they'll be first cab off the rank. The photos that were going up of blood and bodies, you just thought, is anyone thinking this through? We don't need those graphic images that show respect for the dead, show respect for the families. And I don't know, I sometimes think that an ombudsman should be involved in where the news services are going and why graphic, sensational or sensationalised photos should even be out there for people to consider.
Well, we have a code of practice on radio, and if we behave in certain ways, we can lose our radio licence. It's gone. Mm. We don't get to broadcast. So what... Why? How hard would it be to bring in the same thing?
And the thing that's with so this true. Photo, guys, is like I look at the first page and it's her, the little girl standing there, and she's all happy, having a great old time. I want that image.
That's
it. You know the image I've got in my head.
The lasting image of that.
The last image is her laying in a hospital bed with tubes coming out of her mouth.
No,
but she deserves that privacy too.
100%.
Yeah.
Fifi, Dave, Fev, and Byron.
Now let's talk about the news. Now, U.S. President Donald Trump addressed 40,000 scouts at the American National Scout Jamboree, and I don't think it's any surprise it didn't go as planned, didn't go that well.
Right.
He gave a speech that was, look, I guess just far too political for the audience in front of him, the boys. He slammed the fake news media, promoted the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. Not sure the scouts were necessarily expecting that. Boasted about his election night victory and called out the Washington cesspool in front of some teenage boys who just wanted to enjoy their jamboree. Anyway, to talk about this inappropriate behaviour, we have the US president on the line right now. President Trump, thank you for your time.
No, in advance, you are welcome, Missy. It looks like I turned the jamboring into a jamboree awesome.
Mr. President, what made you think that you should get political in front of children? I mean, they're predominantly aged between 10 and 14 years old. Don't you think that was just a bit too much?
Oh, no, I'm going to have to stop you there. I think I didn't go far enough. I was going to have a slideshow behind me of all the Miss Universe winners I've met. What teenage boys don't want to see that?
Mr. President, they're young. They're young teenage boys.
Actually, now in hindsight, you're right. I should have just Snapchat the pics, and then they could have looked at them in their own time.
Mr. Trump, you goaded the audience into booing former President Obama over his health care plan.
Oh, yeah, I know. That was a killer, man. And I was so close to crowd surfing as well. That would have been so cool.
It would not have been cool. You're the president.
Okay, no, you're right. Too much. Okay, maybe I should have just started a Mexican wave and then gotten off. You know what I mean? Keep them wanting more. You know what I'm saying?
Mr. President, look, I mean, take it or leave it. A word of advice. Sometimes it's not appropriate to always talk politics.
Oh, God, tell me about it. I call the bedroom the polling booth and Melania hates it.
Okay, that's enough. Thank you. That's the president there. He's hung up on us, the president. President Trump.
Oh, what a great way to end the week.
Yeah, great way. Great week. Have a great weekend. Melton South Panthers. Good luck to Fev's boys.
Yes, good luck
weekend.
To all your football teams. Have fun at the footy tonight, Byron. Go yeah, Swannies.
Go the Swannies.
Go Doggies. And
the
go the Blues.
Yeah. And
hey, what are we doing? What's our bet?
Okay, so, oh yeah, what's your bet? Just got to resolve that before we go. Now, Dave is a Geelong Cats fan. Fev's obviously a Blues legend.
Hang on a second. What happens? I was off making a frittata. Did the US president just call in?
I'll walk down Bourke Street in a Cats uniform and Dave has to wear the Captain Carlton. How's that sound?
The Captain Carlton mascot uniform. Yeah fair enough.
Stroll down Marrable Street in Geelong.
Okay. Because
what do you reckon? No.
When my Swans took on Fiefs Bulldogs, we did a bet, and the Swans beat the Bulldogs, and somehow I ended up dressed as Puddles the puppy.
Yeah, it was not about you, Byron. It's
okay.
About us. And
be
I gave
careful.
The job to our producers, and they didn't get back to us. So,
we'll see how that goes.
That Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-up was delivered directly to your ears, valet style. Next time you fly, you can upgrade to valet parking as well for only $20 when you book online and park before 12 September in the at terminal T1, T2, T3 car park. melbourneairport.com.au.